So I care of polynomials, are polynomials which compute the character of irreducible representations of symmetric group using free cumulons. So that's what we will see in the introduction, free cumulons and Kirov's polynomial. And then I will present a combinatorial formula for characters, and I will use all this to understand the coefficients on Kirov's polynomial and show that they are positive, which was a conjecture. So first, free cumulons. When we have a Young diagram lambda, we can look at its transition measure. So I won't explain what it is, but just know that it's a measure on the real line. It has naturally moments of all orders. And for the study of representations, which is, free cumulons are more interesting than moments. Why? Because of the second property that I write here, they are useful to describe the asymptotics of the character value on a fixed permutation and on a cycle. When you don't change the shape of the diagram, but make the number of cells going to infinity. And another remark which will be useful in this talk is that at the moment they are homogeneous in the size of the diagram. So now if Kirov's polynomials, so I define sigma lambda mu, which is just the character value k lambda mu normalized, you multiply by some strange constant. And with this normalization, we have this very interesting property that sigma lambda of a cycle is given by a polynomial of the cumulons. And this polynomial doesn't depend of the Young diagram lambda we are considering. And so what can we say more about these polynomials? The dominant term is just the free cumulons of GK plus 1. It's just a consequence of the asymptotic property I presented before. It has integer coefficients. That's not very hard to see. And here I will give a combinatorial description of them, and this will imply positivity of these coefficients. So I will try to sketch a proof of this result. So now I come to a world of irreducible representations of symmetric group, and I will present a combinatorial formula to compute the character values. So as you know, irreducible representations are indexed by partition. So for a very simple example of partition, but there is another notation we will be used in this talk, is to put together the parts that have an equal number of boxes. For example, here the second and the third part have two boxes. So I put them together and I have P2 equal to 2. So if I have two sequences of integer the same size and Q being non-increasing, being increasing, we can have the associated Young diagram. And what it doesn't change many things with the usual. Yes? Yeah, this just means the diagram with P1 parts equal to Q1, P2 parts equal to Q2, and so on. Yeah, n is the total number of boxes. So, and why is it interesting? Because now the cumulons are homogeneous polynomials in P and Q. If you multiply P and Q by X, and in the first as in the first figure, you just multiply the L recombinant by x to the power L. So another object which will be useful is we will represent pair of permutations by map. So I will show you on an example how I do that. For example, I have these two permutations, tau and tau bar. My map will be, so it's a graph and the edge arriving and a vertex have a cyclic order. That's the definition of a map. Here my map has black vertices and white vertices. The white vertices are simply the cycle of tau, and the black vertices the cycles of tau bar. So I mean in the decomposition of cycle of disjoint support. And now the edge, I will put an edge labeled 1. The map I will consider edge labeled. So I will put the edge label 1 between the two cycles containing 1, and so on for all integer between 1 and k. And I just have to be careful about the cyclic order at each vertex. It's the order of the cycle. So here I have chosen the counterclockwise sense. And for example, the white vertex at the left of the figure is 2, 5, 3. And if I have only my map without writing the cycles corresponding, I can of course find back the pair of permutations. So it's really a way to represent it. Tau bar is by the black vertices. 1, 3 for the black vertices on the top and here. Okay. So when I have a bicolored map, I will associate a power series. So it's construct with coloring of the vertices. But my coloring of the vertices are a little special. I can choose any coloring of the white vertices, and then I color the black vertices by the maximal color of its neighbors. For each black vertices, I make that. And the power series that interests me is the summation of over all colorings of this kind, and I take P and indices. If my white vertices are coloring with 1 and 2, I take P1 times P2, and the same thing for the black vertices, except that I use the Q variables. Okay, so you have here the formula. It might seem a little strange, but you will see here why we consider that, because it helps to compute the character value. So here, sigma mu p times q, I recall is just the character value, but with a little normalization. And to compute it, I just have to look at all pair of permutation whose product is mu, so at all factorization of mu. And I take the power series in p and q, and I compute the value on the value of P and Q corresponding to the Jung diagram lambda of which representation I study. So, but now I will look at that with by forgetting P and Q. I just will look at that as this equality can be seen as an equality as power series. And if I give some particular values to P and Q, I find a character value for the corresponding Jung diagram. So now I can have a formula of the same kind for RK plus 1. It's very easy because I said that Rk plus 1 was just the homogeneous part of degree k plus 1 of sigma mu. Of sigma mu, but when mu is a cycle of length k. For example, 1, 2 k. And so, if you, the power theory n of m tau bar is always a power theory on degree C2, on degree the number of cycle of tau plus the number of cycle of tau bar. So if I want to take the homogeneous part of degree k plus 1, I just have to take the same summation, but only on permutation, which verify the number of cycle of tau plus the number of cycle of tau bar is equal to k plus 1. So these permutations are known. In fact, they are in bijection with non-crossing partition. And if I look at the map of these permutations, these permutations are exactly those whose map is a planar tree. So, So the idea to we will look at Kirchhoff polynomials by using this formula. What is the link between these two things? First, it is very easy with this formula to have a combinatorial interpretation of the coefficient of a monomial of kind RL, just a linear monomial in R. Why? Because if you look at the coefficient of the monomial P1 times Q1 to the power L in sigma mu P times Q, it's just a number of permutation with of such that tau as one cycle and tau bar as L cycle. And if you look at this coefficient in sigma mu expressed with the free cumulant, in fact just sigma mu is a summation of monomial of free cumulants with coefficients, and just the monomial RL plus 1 will give a contribution to the coefficient of P1 times Q1 to the L. So you immediately find a combinatorial interpretation, but we have to find it for all coefficients. So what is the idea? The idea is sigma k is a polynomial in R2 to n Rk plus 1. If I remember that R2, Rk plus 1 are a summation of power series associated to trees, so I replace, I expand, I obtain a big summation of product of power series associated to trees. That means power series associated to forest. Okay, but the formula of the precedent slide said that sigma k was a summation of power series associated to graph. So a natural question is, if we want to link these two things, we can ask if a power series associated to a graph can be written as a summation of power series of forests. Okay, we will try to do that. So I will take the graph of our example. And now, if it's not a forest, it has a loop somewhere. For example, this one. So if there is a loop, I can select 1 over 2 edges of this loop and consider the following algebraic sum of graphs. So in the two first graphs, I have erased one edge and I have put a plus sign. In the third one, I have added the two edges and I put a minus sign. If there were, if my loop was bigger, I can generalize that very easily. Always to erase one edge, I take the graph and I put a plus sign. If I erase two edges, I put a minus sign, three edges a plus sign, and so on. And I make that on all the subsets of the erasable edges. So now, why do I consider that? Because all the graphs which appear here have less loops than M. That's very easy to see. And the power theory associated to this expression is exactly the same that the power theory associated to M. In fact, that's a very easy lemma, and that's the only moment in my proof where I need the exact description of the power series M. Now I can forget it. You probably have already forgotten it, so that's why. So if I iterate this, I can choose, for example, here in the first and the second graph, there are loops left. I can choose a loop and iterate the operation. And I will obtain an algebraic sum of forest, which associated polynomial is exactly nm. But the problem is that I have many choices to do in this algorithm, but if I do different choices, I can obtain different sums of forest. So I will restrict a little my choices to avoid this problem. Okay. So how will I do my choices? So this is very arbitrary, and I decide to put an alpha edge just after the edge labeled one, or with the smallest label in the map. And okay, I put an alpha edge of black extremity. And then I will choose a loop which passes through the extremity of this alpha edge. And so I don't choose any loop to obtain a sum of forest. I choose a loop which passes through this this vertex. So it doesn't exist. It can not exist, but I will speak about that later. And now, when I have chosen that, I will orient my loop from left to right. So left to right has a sense here because I can put the half edge on the top, and as my black vertex has a cyclic order, so left is the first edge of my loop reappear when I follow the cyclic order from my alpha edge. So to do my transformation, I had to choose a loop, and I had to choose one edge over two of this loop. Here, for the one edge over two, I will just keep the edge which appear in my oriented loop from their white extremity to their black extremity. So it's a choice, why not, and it make the proof work. And now I will apply my transformation with this particular choice. So I didn't say a word about the case where no loops were passing through the black vertex on the top. If there is no loop passing through this black vertex, my graph is of this kind. And now the MI are graphs with an alpha edge. I can keep this as an alpha edge, and I can choose then a loop with this rule. So if I iterate transformation, I will obtain an algebraic sum of forest as in the precedent slide. But now what is interesting is that there is still some choice, because there can be many loops that are going through the top vertex. Well, for each loop, I specify a choice of one edge over two, but there can be many loops. But I always will obtain the same sum of forest at the end of the iteration of such transformation, whatever I choose as loops. So that's my theorem, and I will call that GM. So I give the example of the map I already show. So this is very interesting, because here you see that the connected graph has a plus sign, and the graph with two components has a minus sign. And if I didn't specify the choice as I do, this is not always the case. But here, so I have two properties of B. So the an invariant is trivial, because we have iterated an invariant transformations. But with this choice, we have a new property that we know the sign of M prime, and if we begin with a connected map M, I have a plus sign for the connected tree, minus for the forest with two trees, and so on and so on. So I come back to chaos polynomial. What should I do now? I have this expression of sigma k, and I can replace n of m for each graph by the sum of forest I just described. But now I have to put some of this n of forest together to make a pair by free cumulants, and to have something that looks that look as a sigma k equal to a polynomial of the free cumulants. Okay, so what I said here. How will I do that? I have to make a little recall of on the symmetry group. I will use this distance and this order on the symmetry group, so the length of the permutation is the minimal number of transposition needed to write it. And if a permutation sigma is on a geodesic line between the identity of sigma prime, we say that sigma is less or equal than sigma prime. This order is very interesting. Why? Because all the intervals for this order are product of non-crossing partitions. And you remember perhaps that my free cumulance was a summation of trees over a non-crossing partition set. So it will be an interesting tool. I will give some details for that. If I have an homomorphism between an interval and a product of non-crossing partition, I can denote by nphi de tau, it's in fact the power series associated to the non-crossing partition, which is the image of tau by this isomorphism. And now, naturally, there is a sign missing here, but as I have all terms of a non-crossing partition set here, for the other tau is zero, here I have a summation over a non-crossing partition set, in fact. So if I this summation will be naturally a product of free cumulants. And what is very interesting here is that if we choose well our isomorphism phi, this n phi de tau will appear with a good sign in my decomposition n of dm. So these isomorphisms or intervals are a good tool to put together the terms that appears with my n of dm to make appear free cumulants. And with a good family of isomorphisms, I will put together all the terms that appear when I take sigma and I replace all the nm by n of dm. I put together all the forests we appear, and I have only free cumulants. And with this kind of proof, I will obtain something like sigma k as a polynomial in the free cumulants. So this part is not very clear of the talk, which is hard to explain, but I will give you my final result. It's if we take so a slight deformation of the formula for the character. Here we just have to take we had to add an hypothesis of tau on tau and tau bar, which correspond to the subgroup transitively of on the set 1K, and that means that the associated map is connected, because we have seen that if this associated map is connected, we know well the sign of all forests which appear in D of M. And with this little change of but in the case where mu was a cycle, it changes nothing, all maps are connected, I can prove that this expression is a polynomial with non-negative integer coefficients of the free cumulants. So, and in fact, the coefficients are just the number of intervals of a certain size that that I use to put the term together in my proof. So I can, instead of counting the number of intervals, it's easier to count each time in my decomposition I have my m is the lower bound of one of my intervals. So with this remark I obtain the following proposition, that the coefficient of a certain monomial is just the coefficient of a disjoint union of J trees with good side, and only one black vertex. Why? Because when I have a tree with one black vertex, that means that I am the lower bound of the interval, and in all the decomposition. Okay, and I will finish by giving application of this proposition, but application was already well known. The coefficient of linear monomials about which I spoke at the beginning. So here for linear monomial, I have to look to match with only one black vertex. So the loop of such map are only of length 2, and my transformation consists to erase an edge. So I obtain always a tree with one black vertices and as many white vertices as m, and to count the coefficient, I have to count the number of maps that have at beginning one black vertex and L black vertices, and that's exactly the number of permutations such that tau bar is a cycle, one black vertex is just a cycle, and tau has L cycles, and that is the coefficient of RL plus 1. So, okay. That's true. Okay, so in fact, with this proposition, I can compute the coefficient for monomial with the total degree is k minus 1, which is already a known result. And there is a formula of Gulden and Rattan who say that the coefficient has a form with the sum of if you change RG by another by other polynomials, we have a very nice formula. We just depend on chi for the coefficient, but I cannot find this again. But what's another new thing that I can find is that in the case where mu is not a cycle, but for example a product of two cycles, I can compute the term which corresponds to maps like that, so they can be three here, to maps like that. We have two faces, and so mu is a product of two cycles, and it's the biggest the highest degree term in a sigma prime. For transitive map, it's the highest degree term in the case where mu has two cycles. And with this result and the previous one, it gives for any mu the subdominant term in the character expansion, in fact.
Okay, so in particular, the structure of all generic coefficient is still not very
clear. Yeah, no, it's not very clear. it's very hard to see here what's for a complicated map, what will be this sum B of M. It is even not invariant by conjugacy by mu. So that's ugly. That's positive but ugly.